Okay, the Maaseh, today's daf is daf Kuf Tes Vav. We're holding the final line of Kuf Yud Dalid Amid Beis. Kuf Yud Dalid Amid Beis. The Gemara asks a Shaila, and the Shaila is based on the Mishnah that we had at the beginning of the Perek, also yesterday on Kuf Yud Dalid Amid Beis. You'll recall the Mishnah started off with Isha Shaholcha Hiu Baalam Dina Sayam. A couple were traveling together. It was Sholem Beinoy Lebeinah. Baruch Hashem, it was peaceful throughout the world, or at least in the region that they were traveling. And Vesholem Beoylam, Sholem Beinoy Lebeinah means between the husband and wife, they were on very good terms. Vesholem Beoylam and Baruch Hashem, it was peaceful in that region. Ubavi Amra, and then she comes back a week, a month, 3 months later, and she says, uh-oh, Meiz Bali, unfortunately my husband passed away. Tinase, she's allowed to get married. She doesn't have to bring one eid or two eidim. We believe her. There's no reason why we shouldn't believe her. There was no disaster going on in that region of the world. We know that she and he were, Baruch Hashem, on very good terms. So there's no reason for any suspicion of foul play or of any issues. So therefore, we believe her and finish. Same thing, Meiz Bali Tisyab. However, said the Mishnah, Sholem Beinoy Lebeinah, Umelchama Ba'olam. If where they were traveling to was Ukraine or a similar place, where we know unfortunately there are major hostilities going on, and then skip a couple of words, and then she comes back, Ubasa V'yamra Meiz Bali, my husband passed away, ain't in their menace. Then she's not believed. Why isn't she believed? See, Mori said yesterday, Bididomi. Bididomi means because we assume that she doesn't know for sure that her husband passed away. She just knows that the day that she fled, there were major hostilities there in Kharkiv or in Donbas or any one of these places, where unfortunately that day hundreds of people never were killed by Russian missiles or whatever the situation was. And since she kept calling out, my husband, Yankel, 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 and he didn't respond, she was afraid that Chas v'Shalom he got killed in those hostilities, and therefore, although she says Meiz Bali, it's been a dummy. It's based on assumptions and presumptions, not that she knows 100% for sure. Then we say, sorry, we cannot allow you to remarry until we have concrete proof or evidence.
How do you translate the dummy? It's what's the, what is it?
If you want to look at the first Rashi on the Gemara yesterday, Vididami me oimed liba, that's based on assumptions and presumptions that emanate from her heart. It's good?
Thank you.
Zokti Mora, last line of the Amid. Iboy lehu. We iboy alei. Either that the Chacham asked or that Rabbah was asking. Ashayla. Hechzika hi mulcham bo'ayla. They were traveling to a nice, tranquil place that everybody thought and everybody assumed was, Baruch Hashem, nice and quiet. Hechzikahi, however, when she came back a month or 2 months later, she said, you didn't hear it. Wow, there's hostilities going on. There were terrorists. There was fighting going on. Hey, you have no idea. It was Nebuch. I didn't realize. Nobody told me. Ay, ay, ay. And unfortunately, my husband passed away. So the question is, do we believe her or don't we believe her? What's the shaila? Ma, mi amrinan malo l'shaker di baya amr shalom ba'oila. Malo l'shaker is a famous expression which more means is a migui. What is exactly a migui? A migui means that a person gives a taina, he says an argument in Bezdin where he could have said a much better argument. The fact that he says the lesser of the two arguments is an indication that he's speaking with total honesty. Our Gemara doesn't give any examples, but for instance, if you were dealing with a malve and a love, a loan situation, where the malve comes to the loan and says, Yankel, you owe me $100. You didn't pay me. Do you have any edim that I lent, that you lent me any money? No. Do you have any documents? No. Okay, take me to Bezdin. Go to Bezdin, and then Yankel says, I paid him already the full $100. Truth of the matter is, I could have said even a better taina, that lehoyu dvorim me'oila. This never occurred. He didn't lend me any money. He's dreaming. He's having a nightmare. He didn't lend me any money. But you know what? Fine. He lent me money, but I paid him back. That's what the Gemara calls a migui. Migui that he says one argument, he could have said even a better argument, that the whole thing, it never occurred. He didn't say that. He said, I paid you. Anyway, the Gemara calls that a migui, and unless there are edim that say otherwise, we believe him. Here too we have a migui. What's the migui? Migui that she could have come back and not said a word, since she was the one that was machzik milchama bo'ilam. In other words, without her, we didn't hear anything. We thought it was a nice, tranquil, beautiful place where all the tourists go and all the businessmen go. We never heard that there are any problems. She was the one that went and established that there's a problem over there. There are hostilities. There's a war going on. We didn't know. And then she said that, unfortunately, her husband passed away. What do we say? Do we say that just like any other migui, had she been quiet and just come back and say, unfortunately, my husband passed away, we would have believed her. That's what it says in the Mishnah. That if it was Sholem Ba'ilam, Uba Va'omra Meis Ne'emenes. Here, however, she did establish for us that there is a Milchama going on. We didn't know, but now we know. So what's the din? Do we say this is a Migui? Migui Malo L'Shaka Dibaya Omra, she could have said a better Taina. She could have said Sholem Ba'ilam, yeah, just like you assumed. And therefore we believe her and Ne'emenes. Oidimo, do you say Kimin the Ichsika? Since she has now established that that region, in fact, is a Milchama Ba'ilam, and we're going to make sure, therefore, that the State Department is going to send out warnings to all of the people, don't go there because, unfortunately, there are hostilities. So once she's machzik, that happens to be a place of Milchama Ba'ilam, nu is Amar Bidadami. I have to be concerned that she is again speaking, like Rashi said, me oimid liba, based on an assumption that her husband never passed away in those hostilities. V'le'asi, and that's v'le'asi mali v'shaku marach eskase. And maybe the migui over here is not strong enough to break through, to counter the chazaka that she has established. Now that she's telling us that this is a war region, now we're stuck. The Mishnah said, war region. Because a bit of dummy, I have to worry that she doesn't know for sure that her husband passed away. She is just presuming and assuming that he passed away. That's the Gemara. So Gemara is going to try to bring a couple of rayas to be pushed to Shaila. Toshima, state in the Braisa. Ishinu Aleinu Bayis. Ishinu Aleinu Ma'ora. Ishinu is from Loshon Oshan, that there was a terrible fire and there was terrible smoke in the bayis, in the house, or in the ma'ora, inside the cave. And unfortunately, says the wife, who makes, my husband passed away because of the smoke inhalation. V'ani nitzalti, and Baruch Hashem, I was able to save myself and to get out of this terrible fire and the smoke, and I'm alive. What does it say in the braisa? Ein ne'emenes. She's not believed. Not that we don't believe her that there was a fire and that there was smoke. Usually, if there's a fire, there's smoke. And usually, if there's a smoke, there's a fire. What we don't believe is that she saw her husband pass away, but rather, we assume that it was a bit of dummy situation. So, Dr. Yamara, the Choyra, we here, we didn't know that there was a fire there. She is the one that established that there was a fire and that there was smoke. And what do we say? Ain't in a matter. She's not believed. Oh, so the Choyra, that's the same type of case that we're talking about. Not exactly on all fours. Here we're talking about a Muhammad. Here we're talking about a fire. But the principle is the same. That had she just come back from a trip or from anywhere and said, my husband died, says in our Mishnah, we believe her. The only time we don't believe her if we find out that this happens to be a Mokayim, a Muhammad Ba'ilam. There's a war going on. Well, the same thing over here. We didn't know that this house was burning down. She comes back and says, the hotel where I stayed at, there was a short circuit, unfortunately. There was a fire and there was smoke and Nebuch, a whole bunch of people passed away, including my husband. So what do I say over here? Ain't in Nemenah, she's not believed. Okay, so Lecharek can be poishet our shayla, we don't know. And she's machzik, she's the one that tells us about it. Then we do not say, bo mali l'shaker, that the migui comes, umorach eskase. We say, ain't in Nemenah. Robert, do you have a question?
I don't understand why I don't believe her. She reinforces her testimony was the fact that the husband died in the fire. If she planned or she's believed, if she says Miss Bali,
yeah,
without any proof,
yeah,
then the fire is the proof, and the body ran away. There's no reason why not to believe her.
If Reich Zegut, so let's see Gemara's Teretz.
What's his question?
His question was, why don't we believe her? After all, had she come back and just simply said her husband died, we would have believed her.
Right.
Now she goes and tells us all the circumstances in the background. You know how he died? There was a fire, there was smoke, and the fire department came late, and they came, and they extinguished the flames, but unfortunately, 50 people died as a result of this terrible fire and this terrible smoke. So, why shouldn't we believe her? That was...
Right, the fact that she's volunteering all this information, why would that necessarily translate into her being less believable?
Exactly right. And that's the Gemara's shaila. The Gemara is saying the fact that she... The Migra, exactly, because she didn't have to say anything. She could have simply said, I came back from a trip. Unfortunately, he... Mace al mitosai. He didn't wake up one morning. Okay. Unless you have contrary evidence, we would believe it. So the fact that she added all of this information, why does it make it any worse?
And why would anybody in their right mind resort to a migoy if it will bring even a scintilla doubt of less believability?
That's a good question, but that's really more of a generic, universal Talmudic question.
We're asking
after the fact. We're not suggesting that people... There are a lot of things that people do in life that we ask, why did they do that, or why would they do it?
Yeah.
But they did it. Now right. The question is, what are the legal ramifications?
Got it.
Good. Yes, Ruben.
I have never met a woman who doesn't speak a lot.
Okay. Why don't we discuss that after the shiur? But anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So what our Gemara says is that we do not believe her. And that's not that we don't believe her, that she's lying and she's telling a fib and the whole thing is not true. Ein emenes means that we don't believe her that the husband absolutely died. Why not? Shani Hosam, the Omalah. It's like the Omrinan law. The Bez and the people go and say back to her, Ki heichad lidach is rachish nisa. After all, if you're telling us 50 people died in this terrible inferno and there was all the smoke, how did you get out of it? Because you had a nes, Baruch Hashem, you had special schusim, schus avos, you said tillim every day, Baruch Hashem, you're able to save yourself. Maybe your husband had similar nisim and aflois, and just like you were able to go and crawl on your on the floor and get a little bit of air from down below, and you weren't overcome by the smoke, and just by spirit Baruch Hashem, just by hair, you were able to get out before the smoke overtook you. No, maybe the same thing happened to your husband. It's true you didn't see that the husband came out, but it's bididami. That's the whole swar of the bididami. Since so many other people passed away, so you're midama, you are presuming and assuming the same thing happened to your husband. But just like you got out, maybe you also got out. So therefore, no right. So now the question is, but how is this different than the case of the Sholem Bo'olam? Why can't you go and say, well, the same thing over there? She also assumed that he came out, and we don't see him, and therefore, just like over here, ain't in a menace, let's be pushing our shayland here, also say ain't in a menace. So Rashi says that the difference between the case of the Muhammad, the case of here, the burning house, is by the case of the Muhammad, she says with a certainty, oh, I know he died. Unfortunately, he didn't make it. Sorry?
Emphatically. She saw literally, like, he got hit in the head by a sniper bullet and his head...
so much the head, but she did see that he was shot. And she saw that he never was lying on the floor and he didn't get up. And therefore, she said with certainty, he's certainly dead. You remember that Gemara said yesterday, even though she says that with absolute commitment, conviction, and certainty... Nevertheless, after she left the scene, ikad the Ovid Simatri Vachoya, maybe a first aid person like Mendy with Atzola, came on the scene, was able to quickly put on a bandage with a tourniquet and stop all of the bleeding. They quickly took him by helicopter to the nearest hospital. And guess what? Baruch Hashem, although he lost 3 pints of blood, they were still able to do a transfusion, and he lived after all. Ooh! That's why the Gemara said, that's why you cannot rely on her testimony in a muhammad.
Is it also like women, like their emotions might get in the way of their...
That's a subject I think you should discuss with the but getting back to our Gemara, what our Gemara is telling us is in the case of the muhammad, she said with certainty, and therefore the question was, does her migoy then go and trump the chazakah that she established that there's a Muhammad boy? We didn't know that there's a Muhammad over there. She's the one that established it. Do you say that the Migah is strong enough to go and overcome that it's a Muhammad boy? says the Gemara, I think I have a raya from the case of the fire, because there too, nobody knew about the fire. She's the one that established it, and therefore we say, ain't in that menace. Says Rashi, no, what the Gemara is answering is, she doesn't say with certainty. She herself is poseach al shtei ha-se'ifim, meaning she herself says, it looks like to me that he passed away because I stood around there for a while, and I didn't see any live person coming out. And therefore I fled the scene because I didn't want to be overcome by the smoke, and I ran to the nearest train, plane, Uber, Lyft, or whatever. However, once again, says the Gemara, just like she was able to be saved, maybe he was saved. Maybe he found a place there in the basement where there was a bubble of air, and Baruch Hashem, when they were finally able to dig out, he was still alive. So therefore, that's why he can't rely. Yes?
Does it matter the sequence in which she tells her story? If she first said, my husband died, and then we have a chazaka that she's mutter to marry, mm-hmm. and then she said, oh, by the way, there was a war there.
Mm-hmm.
So if she said there was a war there first, I understand why mm-hmm. her subsequent testimony is not accepted.
Mm-hmm.
But if she first said that her husband died, and subsequently later, maybe a week later, 2 weeks later, whatever,
would that undermine what she said previously?
Yeah. Does the sequence matter?
If it's at the same sitting, the same session of Beth,
it's considered one.
However, says you say a week later, I don't think that would countermand what you said previously. But again, you'd have to look in the postgame and see if they make these distinctions.
It seems that the Negro really goes to whether she's telling the truth or lying.
You're 100% right. But what the Gemara really needs to say is, under normal circumstances, if we didn't know that there was a Mulchama Ba'olam in that region, we'd say, as soon as she says that her husband died, the Mishnah says, we believe her. She undermined the whole situation by starting off and saying, Rabbi said there was Muhammad. If she had not said anything, we wouldn't have a Shaila, and we'd be on to the next 10 lines further down the Yamah. Because, however, she undermined her own position unnecessarily, so we say, but she didn't have to. You see how honest she is. So that should be a migui to go and strengthen her veracity, her honesty, that she's willing to go and share all these details. On the other hand, because she now is telling us it's a war region, then I have the concerns a bit of dummy, not that she's not being truthful, but that she is making major presumptions upon which, halachically, we cannot rely for her to remarry.
Something like Surfside there.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to have another case like that, too. Toshima. Naflu aleinu oivdekechavim. Naflu aleinu listim. Again, similar situation. She said, you know why my husband didn't come back? Out of nowhere, terrorists came and jumped on us. Listim came on us, a bunch of holdupniks. Listim is like gangsters or highwaymen or people like that. Thieves, or whatever, sorry, thugs. Oh, that's a good
thing. Gang members.
Gang members, exactly. Naflu aleinu listim. Who mess? He unfortunately passed away. Then Nitzalti. And Baruch Hashem, I was able to save myself. Here in Amen, she's believed. So the Gemara thinks, again, that this is a nice parallel. We didn't know anything about this, about the Chum, about the Listim. We just assumed that everything was nice and fine and tranquil. And she comes and tells us all of these gory details. Do I say that the Migui strengthens her statement and shows how honest she is? And therefore, even though she's the one that's machzik, that there is a Muhammad Bo'ilam, not a full-fledged Muhammad, but where they were staying on that street, unfortunately, there were these Eidei Chacham or these Listim. And nevertheless, I say, nah, man, she's believed. Oh, so be pushing the Shaila, that her Migui is so strong that even though she establishes that this is a dangerous place, nevertheless, we believe. Evdi Marnish Karai. Hasam Kirabidi, Dem Rabidi. Isha Klei Zaina Oleha. That's an interesting expression the Gemara is using. What the Gemara is telling us is that in this situation she's believed because in fact she did stay there until the final moment where she saw her husband Nebuch pass away because these thugs in fact shot him and killed him, as we said, shot him in the brain. All the brain matter unfortunately was protruding and therefore there was no question about it. How was she nitzalti? That you're saying for sure, this wasn't a bit the dummy case, a presumption, but she stayed there till the last gory moment. says the Gemara, because an Isha is not as concerned with the Oitei Chovim and the Listim as a man is concerned. Why is that? So Rashi over here does not comment. Likuti Rashi, which is brought in other Gemaras, you see it's not in our Gemara, but in other Gemaras they bring from Rashi elsewhere, that the Isha Klei Zayin Aleha is an expression, which means, literally of course, it means that a woman has with her her weapons. What does that mean? So Rashi says the unfortunate nature of civilization, that the menfolk over here are more interested in her being alive so that they can be mezana with her than having her dead. So therefore she said, I don't have to worry. They're not going to go and kill me. I know they're going to abuse me, unfortunately. She's not able to go and flee, and she doesn't even bother fleeing. Figure, they're going to let me live. But she was able to go and watch her husband never pass away until that final moment. So therefore, that's why it's different than the case of the Muhammad. So we don't have a right. So the Imam now tells us a story. How Hu Gavra, B'shiloi Hilule Itli Nura Beganani. There was a person who, Baruch Hashem, just got married. B'shiloi Hilule means at the end of the Chasana. Itli Nura, unfortunately, a fire broke out, Beganani, in the chuppah and in the residence where they were staying and where they were celebrating the simcha. Amru debisu. Now the new kala, the new wife, starts screaming, Chazu gavroi, chazu gavroi. Look what happened to my chassan. Look what happened to my husband. Unfortunately, he's on fire. It's terrible. Help out. Asu. Eventually, people came. They called the fire department. They speedily came up, and within an hour, they were there exactly on the spot. Chazu gavra charuch, and they found, unfortunately, a person who had been burned and charred like toast, unfortunately. The Shadi, who was lying there, who passed the Yoda the Shadia. They even found Nebuchadnezzar's severed hand that was near the body in this terrible place. So now the question is, do we believe her when she says that her husband died in this fire? So Rav Chiya bar Avin Lameimar, Rav Chiya bar Avin wanted to say, Hainu Ishinu Aleinu Bayis Ishinu Aleinu Ma'ara. Isn't that like the earlier case that we brought on the third line? That she was the one that established that there happens to be a fire and the smoke, and we said, Eina ne'emenes, so here too she should not be ne'emenes. Obviously, there's a major difference between that case and this case, because there we're just relying on her testimony, on her say-so. Here there's unfortunately a charred body, and therefore, Amarava, me dummy, how can you compare the cases of Chiya bar Avin? Hasan loika amra, chazu gavroi, chazu gavroi. In the case of the Ishinu, we don't have anybody saying that they heard her screaming out, my husband's on fire, my husband's on fire. The Oiden, even perhaps more importantly, Gavra Charucha Deshodi Upasa Diyoda Deshadya. We have concrete evidence that somebody Nebuch was burned to a crisp, charred body, you can't even recognize any of the facial features at all, severed hand. Isn't that a pretty clear riot to her testimony?
Well, also, given that it was a wedding, you would assume there'd be eyewitnesses.
It could be, since it says at the end of the wedding, it could be that everybody was already going home and they're all tired. Oh, I should have gone 2 hours ago.
I'm tired. Table or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
So, why the hand? What's the hand?
Kashin of Maisa.
No, I don't have the Kashin of Maisa because they're bringing it down. Is it a relevant fact or not?
There is a machlokis among the Meforshim whether this hand was the hand of the charred body or was a separate hand. Each one wants to say, they bring a raya from the fact that it's a separate hand, that that was a separate body, and the hand is that of a matzil, a person that tried to go and help out, and unfortunately the fire was so intense.
Strengthens the fact that he...
Anyway, look at the article, the footnotes. Yeah. Anyway, you'll take a look over there and you see, it'll give us a hand in trying to understand. Rav Chiya bar Avin, what Rav is saying is so elementary. He's saying, how can you compare this to the case of the Ishinu Olena Bias, where there it was just her say-so that her husband died in this terrible smoke and fire, when over here we see a charred body. So what Rav Chiya bar Avin, Sover Lameimar, that's the same case. How can Sover Lameimar, that's the same case? It's so different. After the Mar Bchivar Avin, Gav Charucha Deshadia. Although we found Nebuch this charred body, Eime Inish Achrina Aslat Sulei Vachilte Nura. Maybe Chas Hashem was one of the fire department, one of the firemen. What do they call them? The fire person I can't say fireman anymore. Anyway, so the fire person came, Latsubi, to go and save the Nebuch the Chosin, who was Nebuch burning. And he was the one that was consumed in the flames. Anytime there's a major, major fire, you hear Nebuch that how many firemen Nebuch were injured or Chas V'Shalom passed away in the flames. So the fireman was the one that died. But passed the other Nishadia and the Nebuch, this hand that you find there lying on the floor that was severed, Nurit Lai, that was as a result of this terrible fire. And therefore it has nothing to do with the Chosin. But now you're asking the obvious question, if the Chosin Kala got married, where is the Chosin?
Exactly.
Wouldn't you expect him?
He's not in Ukraine.
Everything. Rabbi Yisialid Bei Muma, that he unfortunately, as a result of the flames, also got some terrible advice. Third degree burns on his face, on his nose, on his toes, whatever. And Umachus Kisufa, he is so embarrassed to appear in public before his Kala, and presumably there'll be a week of Sheva Brochas over there. All the guests are going to say, oh, look at the terrible bandages all over his forehead and his nose and on his ears and this and that. Because of that, he was so embarrassed. So therefore, he ran away somewhere to some burn center, and hopefully he'll be back in 6 months after they went and cured him. Anyway, that was the story. No raya, new shayla. The more was not poshut the previous shayla. We go on to a new shayla. Ibaylahu, ein echad bil mechama mahu. Remember, we had a couple of prachim ago, in the beginning of the parak, which the princess called Isha Basra, Isha Rabba, as opposed to Isha Sholem and other Isha that we've had, two or three prachim that were called Isha. That was called Isha Rabba. What did it say at that beginning of that Mishnah? If you have a woman that comes back and said, I traveled together with my husband. No, start again. A woman that comes in front of the bed and said, my husband traveled away on business for 6 months, and unfortunately he didn't come back. I'm all noivis. One aide came back and said, he saw him never pass away. Says the Mishnah over there, if she's daika mensava, she can rely on that and she can remarry, but you better be daika mensava, because if afterwards her husband comes back alive, then takes mizel mizel, and she loses her ksuba, and she loses all the mezoinis and the balois, like we learned in that Mishnah. Says Yimar, the same case, but instead of just an eid echad coming back and said, I saw him never pass away, eid echad b'melchama mahu. Oh, in other words, like the case of our Mishnah, that there was never a melchama in that region, and the eid echad comes back and says, he passed away in that war. Can we rely on that eid echad? Time of the eid echad mehemen. Why do we normally say we rely on the eid echad? Like we said earlier on in the Masechta, Mishnah, the Milch, that we will be after all, this is something that eventually will become known to the world. It's just a question of time when we hear about what happened. So why should he go and say a sheker? So therefore we can rely that he's telling us the truth. So same thing over here too. Every time we rely on the Eidecha, because we assume that she is going to go and do all of her due diligence. She's going to call the FBI and the CIA and the Mossad and the whatever. She's going to find out what happened to her husband. A Bahacha, in our case, leave out the brackets. Bahacha loydaiku mitzvah. Here, she's not going to be so middakdekis. Why is she not going to be middakdekis? Explain to Rashi. Because I'm afraid that maybe the Eidecha, he was relying on an assumption, and she in turn was relying on an assumption. If you look at Rashi, about seven lines before the bottom of the Omid and the Rashis, the Travayu Amrit Bididami, both the Eid Echad, there's a war. He wasn't a reporter for the newspapers that figures, I'll put up my press credentials and they won't touch me. As we know, reporters unfortunately sometimes get killed in a war too. But the point is that if there's a war raging, and this person was able to flee, he's not going to stick around for the kvura of the person about whom he testified passed away. He saw that he was never hit by a bullet. He saw him lying on the ground there for 5 minutes, not moving. He assumed that's all over. And then he came and testified here that the husband passed away. But even that, like the Gemara said yesterday, maybe Hatzalah person, a first aid person came, put on a bunch of bandages, and maybe miraculously he's still alive.
He's believed, right?
I'm sorry, once again?
They're saying he's believed. No.
That's the question. That's the Gemara's question. That's an Iboilu. Eid Echum Muhammad Mao, what would be the din? Normally, in a regular case, when he comes back and says, I was in a business trip together with your husband, then the Bechai saw him pass away. We believe him that There's no reason why she's going to say a fib, and she in turn is going to go and do all of her due diligence, and therefore we rely on that. Here, over here, both he, the Ein Echad, and both she, the wife, may be based on assumptions. We read in the papers how many hundreds of people, thousands of people were killed, Nebuch, in this terrible war, and we assume Nebuch, he passed away too, only to find out later on that he's still alive. So that's the question, can we rely, can we not? And here's not a question of honesty, the question is, can we rely that that person saw it till the nth degree, to the final moment, when the person really totally expired, totally died? Zog the Gemara, so what's the din? Omer Rav Chama Toshima, let's try to bring it right. Omer Rav Akiva, Kishiravtim Nehedor La'Aber Hashan. I once went to Nehedor for purposes of being Ma'aber Hashan. Normally, Iber Hashanim is only done in Eretz Yisrael. This must have been towards the end of the Beis Hamikdash time, especially since Rav Akiva is over here, and you're going to tell me this already after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, right? So at that time, the Sanhedrin was no longer in Yerushalayim. Towards the end of Rosh Hashanah, we learned that they went into 10 different stations. They went to Usha, and they went to
Sipori,
I don't recall. They went to Usha, and they went to Yavne, went to different places out of Yerushalayim when the towards the end of the second bias, and subsequent to the second bias, until a few years after that, they kept them being Ma'abed Hashanah, but eventually they adopted Hillel's calendar, which we use today, and therefore we don't have the Iber Shem anymore. But Mitzvah Shem, it'll all be reestablished soon. Anyways, I went to Nedor, the Iber Shanah, to go and do the Iber Shanah. Matzasi Nechemya Ish Based Li. I met there an individual by the name of Nechemya Ish Based Li. The Omeli, and he told me, Shemati, I heard, Shein Mesinus Ish Beretz Yisrael. I, Nechemya, live here in Nedor. I live here in Chutz Laaretz. I heard reports from people coming back and forth from Eretz Yisrael that there in Eretz Yisrael they are not, do not allow for being Macy. Macy means to allow a lady to remarry al pi eid echad. Generally, they try to refrain from that. If an eid echad comes with a woman that says, "My husband passed away. Here's my eid," in general, the bat dinim do not give hetedim. They say, go and find a second aid, do more due diligence. I'm afraid Chassid Shomri is going to come back, Alabai will come back, I don't want you to get into trouble. But the dinam were very machmir, they didn't allow it to remain. Except for El Rabbi Yudah ben Bava, only Rabbi Yudah ben Bava. So that's what I heard. And therefore I'm asking Rabbi Kiva, is that correct? The Namti Loi, says Rabbi Kiva, I said back to him, the word Namti is like from the word Nu'um, like you find at the end of documents. And I said to him, Kenazvan, you're absolutely right. That virtually all the Dayanim and the Rabbanim and the Poskim and the Batidinim do not allow a woman to remarry an Eretz Yisrael based on Eid Echad. Rabbi Yudah ben Bava is the singular Godo that permits it. Amali, so now Nechemya Ish Beis Adli said to me, and Morlehem, you, Rabbi Kiva, are going to travel back, presumably to Eretz Yisrael. Please go and tell them, Mishmi in my name, Atem Yodim Hamadina Hazu Mishubeshes Begeisers. This Medina, apparently Bavel, unfortunately there's a lot of Milchoma going on, or Geisers, there are a lot of terrorists on the roads. Kach Mikublanim Rav Gamliel Hazokin. I have a Kabbalah from Gamliel, Shemesian Ho'isha Al Pi Eid Echad. That you are allowed to go and allow the lady to remarry based on Eid Echad, like we had in the earlier Mishnah, the Gemara, and therefore it's not just Yehuda ben Bava that holds that way, but here in Chutz Laaretz from Gamliel Hazakin, he also saw Paskin. Go and tell him. That's the end of the story. And now the Gemara is being Medayik. My Medin Mishamesh Begaisis. Why did Nechemya Ish based Li throw that in, that it's Mishamesh Begaisis? Love. Didn't he mean to say that Avagav the Medina Zumishubeshes, even though unfortunately there's a lot of killing going on over here in this Medina, either by formal warfare or as a result of terrorists going around and roaming the streets, and therefore things are terrible. Nevertheless, Kach Nikoblani should be seen on Pi Eid Echad. So what do we see? Alma Eid Echad Mehemet. So you see that he's saying the name of realize, okay, even under war conditions, we believe one A. Because that's what he said, Kach Nikoblani, on Pi Eid Echad. And he's telling us it's Mishabesh of the Bises. It's like a war region. So We can be poishet our shayla that an eid echad comes on the scene. We don't have to worry about bididami. We can rely on it. Yes, she has to be daika mitzvah, but once she's daika mitzvah, she'll also be reliable if and when she says she did her proper due diligence. Oh, so we can be poishet our shayla eid echad neman b'mulchama. Amarava, I don't think that that's a good raya. Because ihachi, if that's what Nehemiah Ish Beis Hadli meant, and that's what Rabbi Kiva is repeating, Maishta Medina Zu, why does he have to start off his statement, Atem Yoidim the Medina Zu, that this particular country, unfortunately, we are under terrible influence of these geises, of these gangs, of these terrorists. Kol Mokim Sheyesh Geisim Miboyalei. Shouldn't this apply throughout the world, wherever you have such a crime-laden situation or terrorist situation? And therefore, Ella Marava, I'll tell you what I think Nehemiah Ish Beis Hadli really meant to say. He's telling Rebbe Kiva, it's really surpassed that I, Nehemiah, should make you my emissary, my shliach, to go and send this message to Eretz Yisrael. Oh. But rather, Atem Yoidim Shemedina Zumi Shebeshet Begaisis, Tlei Efterlin and Mishbek in Shebesi Umaisi Kami Rabbanan. I would like to go there in person, not be matriach you. But the problem is that there are so many terrorists here on the roads. Actually, it's impossible for me, lemishbik inchibesi, to leave over the people of my household or maisi kamarabanan and make the special flight, the special trip there to Eretz Yisrael to tell me, because I might never get there, unfortunately, because of the situation here on the roads. But therefore, please do me a favor and tell them the following. So what does the Gemara answer with Rava's Teretz? That in fact, Rav Gamliel Hazokin and Nochem Nechami Ish Beisli, they're not talking about a Muhammad situation. They're talking about a regular situation. And they're saying, yes, in a regular situation where there's no Muhammad Ba'ilam, and you have Eid Echad coming back and saying that this and this person passed away, they see and you can rely on this testimony, tell this to Yudim and Baba, tell this to the Dayanim, let them know. So why did he introduce the whole business with the geisos? He was just really apologizing to Rabbi Kiva, why don't I go myself? Why am I making Rabbi Kiva my shliach? Because I can't travel, because you see, it's dangerous on the roads. But it had nothing to do with the psak halacha legabe misiyim isho pi'erechot. So no right. So let's come up with a new right. Toshima. Ma'is mishnei tamid acham, shayuboim im abiyoisi ben simoi besvina. He had two Tamid Chacham who were traveling together with Yosef Simoi in the same boat, the Tova, and unfortunately the boat sank. What happened? A bunch of women that were on the boat or were on seashore saw the whole sinking of the ship, of the boat, and they came and told the wife, that you should know, the wives of these two Tamid Chachamim, that unfortunately your husband's passed away, and it's very, very tragic. Rebbe, based on the testimony of the women, permitted these two almonis, the wives of the Tamid Chachamim, to remarry. So Gemara, in other words, we didn't know anything about the fact that they were on this boat and that they were tides and that's why the boat sank. We didn't know anything about this. So it's, in a sense, it's like Muhammad. We don't know. You're telling us now this information. And the Noshim Alpi Meya, I'm sorry, the Noshim Afilu Meya Keirech Adami. As we know, women do not have the status of Edim and Atayra, so the possible Amdu Anoshim, it has to be men that can testify in court and not women. And so therefore, even 100 women Keirech Adami only have the status maximum of one eight. Okay, Uktani, and it says, hey, see, that Rebbe used that testimony of the 100 women equals one man to allow to remarry. And so therefore can we not therefore be poishet ar shaila, that if there happens to be an eid echad bil Muhammad, here all of these women, eid echad in the mayim is just like a parallel to Muhammad, and you see you believe them. Therefore, don't we have an answer to our shaila? So it's more of a tizbra. Not so fast. Let me understand. Wasn't it a case of mayim she'ein lehem soif ninu? Or mayim she'ein lehem soif ishri asura? Our Gemara doesn't go into this in any detail, but in another few days, the Gemara is going to bring a daf kuf chof, that it really depends on kuf chof aleph, depends on whether the waters are mayim she'ein lehem soif or mayim she'yesh lehem soif. What means mayim she'ein lehem soif or yesh lehem soif? So Rashi here does us a favor and quotes the Gemara in Kuf Chaf Aleph. You see Rashi five lines from the bottom. Mayim she'ein lehem soif. Mefarshim perek pasra. Kosha oimid ve'ein roya me'arba ruchaisim. A person looks out at an expanse of water and cannot see where the water ends because it just goes on and on and on, like a sea or like a very large river. What would be a mayim she'yesh lehem soif? That it's more of a pond nature, or even a large river. But nevertheless, you can see at the outskirts, you can go and see either islands or you can see dry land. A mayim she'yesh lehem soif, even if there are two Edom, for that matter, even if you had 50 Edom that say the boat sank, there were no survivors, they are not believed. Not that we feel that they're dishonest, but rather maybe the waters went and took the bodies and have them float away beyond my eyesight, just beyond what I can normally see from where I'm standing. There was Taka, an island over there. The bodies washed ashore, and guess what? Miraculously, they were able to live after all. The people were able to swim at least a little bit. As far as my eyesight, I don't see them, so I'm afraid the Chas Hashem, they all drowned. Maybe not. Look at the next Rashi. Ishtar Asura. The Avu Bishyesh Edom Ksheidim. Not talking about women, which are deemed to be like one eight. Even if you have Edom Ksheidim, men. Multiple Shetova that said that we saw that they drowned. Shemetzof mitachas amayim v'yotza. Maybe somehow they floated from underneath the water, and the water dragged them away in one of these major tides and deposited them on dry land. And Baruch Hashem, they're alive. So that being the case, Frank to Gemara, how can you say that Heisi Rebbeinu Shesayim Alpin Oshem? Isn't that this type of case? Ella Zutimar, the last line. Heichi Dami. You know why we believe them? The Amri Askinu Kamon Bechazinu Li Alter. We're talking about a situation where it was that in fact the bodies did wash ashore. We saw the bodies, Bechazinu Li Alter, immediately. It's important to see it immediately, says Rashi, because after a while the body begins to decompose and decay, and therefore the Tzuras Apanim can change. But this happened, you know, instantaneously. We could see the features very clearly. Vika'amri Simonim Delav Alayusam Chinan. Not only did they say that we saw three bodies, five bodies, whatever, that people that passed away, but we even saw Simonim Mufakim. Simonim Mufakim means very, very clear cut simonim that you don't normally find on every individual. They say that right on the bottom of the ear there was a major scar that you could tell. It was a chlais, these were bali tshuva. There was a tattoo somewhere, chulina, or something or other where it's crystal clear that these are the individuals. So says the Gemara, that's not a right to our case. Our case was talking about an eid. Here we're not relying on eidim, we're relying on the simonim. Those simonim uvakim that they were able to say, oh yeah, yeah. The wife said, absolutely, we know that there was in fact such a scar underneath the ear or whatever. Those types of simonim that you can rely on, that was not the shaila. So once again, this shaila we were also not pushed. But because we mentioned this business about simonim, the Gemara now goes off a little bit on a tangent and asks a parallel situation, or tells us about a parallel. How would Gabi, there was a person, the Afkid Shimshimi Gabi Chavrei, an owner of sesame seeds, poppy seeds, went and deposited them with a shomer. And he left them a whole barrel of these shumshimi. And on Malay, and now a month later he comes back, havli shumshimi. You know, we had that big barrel with the sesame seeds. I'd like you to please return it to me. Omlesi told him, Shikotino, don't you remember you already picked it up last week? Are you, Chas v'Shalom, beginning to have amnesia? You took your shumshimi. I, says the owner, v'kein v'chein havyon u'b'chavita ramyon. Don't you remember it was exactly the following volume? V'kein means it was exactly 5 pounds or 3 gallons or whatever the normal measurement you would say of either volume or weight that you would say for sesame seeds. U'b'chavita ramyon, and we put in a special barrel. And I see a barrel over there. Let's open it up. Hey, look, they're talking to those sesame seeds. On Malay, so the Shomer says, Didoch Shekel, Tinu. Remember what I told you. You took back your sesame seeds. Bahani Yechrininu. These inside the barrel, they happen to belong to somebody else. either belongs to him or somebody else left it as a bikodoin. These are not yours. So now the question is, who do we believe? Some rukiz lemeimer, heinish neitamir chacham. That's like the case that we had in the Omid Aleph, that the ladies came and they gave the simanim. Here he's also giving the simanim. What are the simanim? He said, kandakan, or kain v'kain havyan. This was the amount, the volume, or the weight. And they were inside a barrel. There's a barrel, and it's the same weight, and exactly like he said. Why don't we say v'gabe shtei tamid hacham, hanach azli alma v'hani achrininu? Maybe the two people, the two tamid hacham, Nebuch, were swept away by the tidal waves, and the bodies that you find that washed ashore, maybe these are others. And so, we don't say that, but rather we relied on the testimony of the women that this is it. So the same thing, this looks like the same sesame seeds that were there a month ago, the same weight, same volume, same chavias. So, why don't we say we rely on that this belongs to the mafkid? Amalei Rabbi, so Rabbi said to Rav Chisda, what's the relationship between Rav and Rav Chisda?
Son-in-law after Rabbi Rahama died.
So Rav was the son-in-law of Rav Chisda, not initially, but after the Rami Bar Chama passed away and left over the almana, Rava married the daughter of Rav Chisda. Thank you very much. So only Rava, me dummy, how can you compare? Awesome, ka'amri simanim. Simanim limar means simanim mufhakim. These are real, recognizable, discernible, strong simanim. Like the facial features that we spoke about before, that underneath the ear there was a scar or whatever. Here you're talking about sesame seeds. All sesame seeds and throughout the world look basically the same. My sin is lo. What simon do you have in them? I udika omar kain v'kain avyan. You're telling me that this was the amount that there was there, and the volume, and all the rest. Maybe the cheshbon paint came out the same, but not that this is a simon mivik. Yeah, you're right. There is something to what he's saying. You can't just dismiss him out of court and say, ah, this is a phony. He is saying something. However, when you're talking about facial scars or things which are very recognizable of Simanim of Hakim, unique, thank you, that's already a statement. The fact that you're saying it's the same volume, the same size, nah, there's a Nishka Grois Raya. Amalei Mar Kshisha Bar Rav Chisda L'Rav Ashi, Umi Chashin and Shem Apina. What you're basically saying is that this Chavius originally held the sesame seeds of the Mafkid, and then somebody removed the contents and filled it up with other sesame seeds. Do we have such a chashash, Shem Apinan, that somebody removed and emptied out the contents? What's that? A Mishnah Maaseh Sheni. What happens if Matzah Kli, a person finds a Kli, because of Olav, and he sees written on it one letter. What is the one letter? Kuf. Then you can assume that the contents are carbon. Lav Dafka carbon, says Rashi, means Hegdish, something which is holy. If you find a big mem on it, you can assume that it's maser, presumably maser sheni, that you'd have to take to Yerushalayim. If you find an adalid, then it's dimua. Rashi says dimua means that it's a mixture between truma and chulin, and I'm not sure what the status is, since it's mixed together. Unless you had 101 times the amount of truma, then you'd have to go and consider it to be truma, and you can use it only for kahan. If it had a big tess on it, you'll assume it's tevel, and you have to go and give truma some meisters. If there's a big tough, you'll assume that it's truma. Now, why did they only put one letter? Says the Mishnah, Shemishasa Sakana. Sakana means that, unfortunately, the evil governments were trying to uproot Yiddishkeit, and they said, we don't want anybody to perform mitzvahs. So during the time of the Sakana, you koyis and tough, tachas truma. Instead of writing out the entire word, they'd only write one letter, and therefore the people who were literate and knew what was going on, no, oh, a tough, that must be truma. There's a mem that must be maaser, a kuf that must be hegdish, and so on and so forth. Okay. So what do I see from that? That if you find such a kli, and it's full of contents, it has papers in it, it has yirokas, it has tvua in it, and it has those letters, then you assume that it has the status of maaser or tevel or truma based on the lettering on these vessels. So therefore, what does the Gemara mean to say? Why don't I say that Shem Apinan? Einachanami, there's a big tuff on it that says truma, but maybe the contents was removed, and now they put instead in chulin. So even though it says tough from the outside, but that's from the outside of the kli. You don't know for sure that they didn't go and take out. So that was the Gemara's kasha. Mi'chashin and shemapinan. Are we choshesh that they went and emptied out the kli? I see from that Mishnah in the Masechta Maaseh Sheni that I don't assume that they emptied out the kli, but rather I assume that whatever it says on the outside, that's what's in the inside. Don't you hold that I am choshesh and they in fact took out the original contents and they filled it with something else? Aim a sefer. Let's see the sefer. Rabbi Yosi aim a sefer Mishnah. Even if it says in bold letters, truma, har'il chulin, you could still assume that it's chulin inside, or at least you don't have to assume that it's truma. Shani oimer, because you know what I say? Ishtakir have a mali truma. Yesterday, there was truma, that's why it says truma. However, they remove the content. Oh, so you see that there's this mandiyama that holds that they remove the content. So maybe the same thing by the sesame seeds. Even though he said that there are exactly the same amount that this person said, 3 pounds, 3 gallons, 3 whatever weights, volume, etc., in the same chavis, but maybe it was empty. So you were asking Akasha from the ratio that it sounds like we're not assuming that somebody emptied out the contents. But I bring a raya from the sefer that we do assume that maybe somebody took out the contents. The truth of the matter is, everybody agrees that there's certainly this strong possibility that what it says on the outside doesn't necessarily represent the contents on the inside, because maybe he emptied the kli. So what's the machlok in Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi? Mar sover im isa depinu michber have a kofar. The Tanakama says, of course it's possible. It's not like today, you buy plastic containers for 29 cents each, etc. These you're talking about metal or wooden containers, and people would have them for their entire lives. And that being the case, of course it's possible that today there was truma, and the next day there's chulin, and the next day there's tevel, and each time they keep on reusing the container for other things. However, if they did that, michbar have a kofar. Michbar have a kofar means they would have erased the word written outside. If there's a tuff outside and they didn't go and take it away, they didn't erase it, presumably, even if they switch the contents, they put a new truma, a new truma. Because otherwise, why wouldn't they go and erase it? The Idach Omar and the Rabbi Yosi says, to the contrary. Number one, Ishtaluya Ishtali. Could be he forgot, that was his intent, but he didn't get around to it. Well, Inami, but even more than that, the Panchai Shafke, maybe especially left it there for security reasons. Meaning, most people are not kohanim. Most people cannot go and eat truma. That's why he specially put a tuff there, truma. Probably originally there was truma there. But now when he put in chulin instead, you know what? Leave the word truma. In case there happen any thieves around, they're going to go and want to go and take out the contents. They'll see it says truma, and they'll stay away. They're going to stay away. They're not going to go and steal truma. And therefore, let's leave it. So the fact that it says truma nishkarai, it's very possible that it's bina. And that's why Rabbi Yosi said, afila matzachavi, so comes with that truma. Hari elo. Anayimas. Says the Gemara Yitzchak Reish Galusa Bar Achse Deravibi. That was his name, Yitzchak Reish Galusa. Either he was somehow related to Reish Galusa, or maybe that was his title. Bar Achse Deravibi, he was a nephew of Ravibi. Have caused me Kurtuba Laspabia. He was traveling for Kurtuba Taspabia. Vishochiv. And unfortunately, he passed away. Shochmi Hasim, and therefore reports came from that location. The Yitzchak Reish Galusa Bar Achse Deravibi, have caused me Kurtuba Laspabia. Vishochiv, and he passed away. The question is, the name Yitzchak Reish Galusa is a pretty unique name. Michashin Letrei Yitzchak Oloi. Do we have to assume that there's only one Reb Yitzchak, and therefore we could tell his wife, the Mrs. Reb Yitzchak Reish Galusa, you can remarry, or maybe there's another Yitzchak Reish Galusa in town. You never know. Rashi says, like the Gemara says elsewhere, are the two Yosef Ben Shimons. Why the Gemara tells the story with Yitzchak Reish Galusa, that was his name. So do I have to worry about that there's another Yitzchak Reish Galusa or not? Abayim Achashir, yeah, you do. And therefore you cannot allow the wife to remarry, even though I have confirmed reports that Yitzchak Reish Galusa passed away. Maybe it's another Yitzchak Reish Galusa. Rav Amaloi Chashir, I'm not Chashir. Amar Abayim Inol Amulah, how do I know that I am Chashir? Don't you remember that famous story of the get Yishtakach Ben Edo? They found a get in the street of Ben Edo. Uksiv, and it says in that get, It's at Kloinia Mosa, next to the town of Kloinia. Osa Androloi, I, not Osa, Ana Androlinoi, I, Mr. Androlinoi, Neherda, from the town of Neherda, Hatris Vitarchis Yas Ploinis Intasi. I gave a get to my wife, and this is the get, and it says Androloi's name in it. And now Mrs. Androlinoi comes to Besdin and says, this is my get, I am Migureshes, please hand over the get to me so that I should have that in my safe or in my vault, and I'll have proof when I wish to remarry that I am unfortunately divorced. Vishalch Avud Shmuel, the Kamed of Yehuda. Avud Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, sent this child in front of Yehuda and the Seah to ask him, what should we do? In other words, based on this lady's testimony that she was married to Adulinoi, and presumably she has documentation to show that she's Miss Adulinoi, can we believe her and give her the get and it's hers? Vishalach Lei, and Rabbi Yehuda and the Seah sent back, Tibodik Ne'edoa Kula. Go and check out throughout the entire Ne'edah, since it's Androlinoi Ne'edah, check out whether Ne'edah, is there another person by the name Androlinoi? Because if there is another Androlinoi, maybe it's not her husband, but somebody else's husband. If you look at the Rashi, Tibodik Kol Ne'edah, which is about 12 lines from the bottom, Em Yesham Androlinoi Acher Chutz Mi Baal Yishezu, find out if there's another Androlinoi. If there won't be, then fine. But if there's another Androlinoi, you can't give her the get because maybe it belongs to somebody else.
Doesn't get it to say, I divorce my wife, Rachel Bas Yaakov?
All of those facts were there, apparently.
They all matched.
So it appears. So Zokti Gemara yet, let's go and check out Honeton. So therefore, Abaye says, you see, I'm right at Chayshinon. So the fact that you go and hear a report that Yitzhak Reish Kalusa passed away from Kartuvel Aspami, maybe there's another Yitzhak Reish Kalusa who was traveling from Kartuvel Aspami. So you see, Chayshishin, that Araya to me, says Abaye. But Rava, remember, said, Loi Chayshinon, I'm not worried that there's another Yitzhak Reish Kalusa. I have a good story over here that Yehuda and the Seah sent back to Avud Shmuel, check out whether there's anybody else with the same name. For Rav Omar, in Isa, if in fact there is such a chashash, then Yehuda and the Seah wouldn't say Tiborik Nedor. Yibodik ala oylam miboyolei. You should go and check out the whole world. Why do you check out the whole world? Because although his name was Androlinoi from Nedor, that doesn't mean anything. He may have, after that, moved to Texas. And in Texas, they still call him Androloi, the Ne'edah. You know, the Ne'edah guy, that guy came from Ne'edah. It was very common in the good old days before they had surnames to go and identify a person. Whether he was a Galiciana, whether he was a Varshava, a Krukova, whether he was an English, from his, wherever he came from, they would add that as part of the name. Oh, you're sure, the English, Yanko, sure, you can indeed, they're from Ne'edah. So therefore, you better call it only boy. It's not enough just to go and check Ne'edah everywhere. So then, why did Yehuda and the Seah respond back to Abu Shmuel? El Mishim Kvoided Abu Shmuel to the Sholachachi. He wanted to go Mimchabed Abu Shmuel. He didn't want to go and send back. Ah, come on, that's a ridiculous question. This is so silly. Of course, you can't go and give it back. But rather, until you go and do this, that Yehuda and the Seah figured this would be a face saving gesture instead of going and saying Abu Shmuel. Loi Chayshinon, don't worry about it. Okay, go and ask the police, look up the yellow pages, look up the telephone book, see whether or not you can find that there's another Androlinoi, and if you don't find someone, then you're okay. He really felt he didn't have to go and check at all, because his Rav Lishitosai, Loi Chayshinon, I'm not Choshish. He only did that to Avud Shmuel, should not be embarrassed. Now the question is, Omer Rav Amino, I'm in Allah, how do I know that I'm right, Loi Chayshinon? And Mishnah will continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Mishnah 8:05. Nobody say on the Zoom.